Hello, welcome back to Heart Factor Nigeria Info, your number one talk station. I'm Dawid. 13 minutes gone past 4 p.m. Discussions are on. Many thanks for staying tuned. And I imagine that as a Nigerian living in Nigeria, even if you're a visitor, you've been in town for a bit, one of the most concerning issues at the moment is that even when you're trying to pay for a service or commodity, it might seem like the most difficult thing to do in the entire world. And sometimes you might be staring at that mobile device as supposed to help you make that transaction, and you might even feel like smashing it on the ground because you keep getting the same response, asking you to try again later. And you're wondering why you have to try again later and why can't you just get it done now? Especially when it appears the federal government and her agency, the CBN especially, is trying to push a cashless policy or cashless economy driven policy at this time. Are you wondering, this is supposed to be how we go cashless, why is it not working? Well, we're about to explore why that possibly is the case at this time. Here's a story from one of the dailies earlier on, this one from Leadership, Cash Crunch. Electronic banking platforms collapse under traffic surge. Here's a bit of the story. The Nigerian banking public continues to face hardship in accessing their funds as cash scarcity persists, while alternative channels have remained problematic at best. Now, some of these platforms include internet banking, kiosks, mobile apps, unstructured supplementary service data, USSD, point of sale, POS, automated teller machines, ATMs. Now, data from the Nigeria Interbank Settlement System suggests that transactions worth at least 30 trillion naira are performed mostly using electronic platforms. And at a time when these electronic transactions are expected to surge due to the naira redesign and a shortage of physical cash, the platforms for these services are collapsing. This is as experts say the downtime experienced by many of the banking applications and alternate channels has shown the lack of adequate investment in technology by the operators in the Nigerian fiscal industry. This is what we're discussing at this time. I'm asking you, is Nigeria prepared for a cashless system? The line's open right now, or rather much later on, but join us via Facebook, we're live there, and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. We'll get to your contributions in a moment. But joining me in the studio for this conversation, I've got IT consultant Dawal Miri in the studio. Dawal, good evening to you. Welcome to Heart Factor.
Good evening to you, Dawal.
Let's get right to it then, Dawal. Cashless policy or a cashless driven economy, what exactly is it? Because even when the expression is used in other societies or maybe seemingly more advanced economies compared to Nigeria, as I mentioned, you still find that even in those economies, people still make use of cash. So what exactly does a cashless policy or cashless driven economy imply?
Well, Dale, let me start this way. Cashless policy or cashless driven economy is where the world is, or is what it is. Now, the truth about it is, in the developed world, they use the cashless policy or the cashless-driven technology or policy to drive technology for cash withdrawals or cash remittance. It's for monitoring. It's for monitoring purposes. That is the reason why the ecosystem of the ecosystem for the technology they use in driving the cashless society gives them data about consumptions. For instance, I'll give you an example. The UK can actually, in 10 seconds, crunch the data and tell you that, oh, Chocomilo or XYZ product is the highest sale product or highest purchase product in this day. Because why? The entire ecosystem of the technology captures purchases from point to point, and they can give you a statistic and say, okay, you know what? Production should go high for this. Production should go less for this. So the policy is to actually limit the circulation of cash, to put in a framework where the cash can be limited to such a way that it can be controlled economic-wise or economically, give you value and put the right incentive into such economy. But if you don't run these two side by side, like the UK, that should be Oxford Street or so. I went to withdraw. I couldn't withdraw more than £20. Right? But in Nigeria, you can withdraw up to 100,000. Imagine carrying 100,000 in your wallet. And when I look at the policy of the central bank and why that policy at this time, the central bank gave a statistic to say they have close to certain amount in trillions, probably about 2 or 3, 4, 5 trillion in circulation to produced but they only have close to about 2 trillion in circulation, which means some of this money are either kept in some homes or some of this money is outside Nigeria and they have to mop up. To start with, the policy of the cashless policy by CBN is a masterstroke. Beautiful policy. But there are things they did not do.
We'll get to that in a moment. However, so as beautiful as a cashless policy might seem, you know, limiting the use of cash and for helping governments to monitor the economy and possibly plan properly for that economy as well, what is required to run such a policy successfully?
Okay, I'll put it this way to you. First of all, I will talk about the policy that I've four things basically, policy, implementation, and policy implementation, technology, and financial framework, five. Now, looking at the policy, when that policy is developed, they are supposed to look at the, break the policy down by saying, you know what, this policy, we need to put a framework to back up this policy before we announce the policy. We've made the policy that we are going to redesign the Naira. We need to speak to all the bank heads. We need to start discuss with Broadcasting Association of Nigeria. They need to start sensitizing people, break down the policy to different languages, sensitize people in the geopolitical zones before the launch. And at the launch, the policy is supposed to contain that there must be measures to mitigate the unbanked. You can't go to somewhere in Sabisa Forest or one village you want to buy tomatoes and you're telling the man you're sending cash to him through electronic format. No. But if he is educated about the policy and how it helps his business, the policy will be accepted from these people down there. Now, looking at the implementation now, implementation was poorly implemented. Very poorly done. Because in the implementation, they did not take cognizance of the unbanked. They did not take cognizance of the overload of network. They did not take cognizance of the infrastructure, technology infrastructure to back up a 200 and something million people. They did not take cognizance of so many other factors. You could see that even looking at the infrastructure, technology infrastructure we have on ground cannot even contain the, let me say, 15 million people that is transacting every day.
Pardon me, though. I know we have issues with, the cashless policy implementation in Nigeria right now.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure breaking down, collapsing and all. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But what I really want to know is, to effectively run a cashless policy, what is required to do that?
Technology framework. You have to have a clear ecosystem, technology ecosystem to clearly do that. Which means you have to look at, NIBBS, CBN have to come together with the bankers. They have to put a massive data, they have to put a massive network infrastructure to contain and distribute this money on time, real time. We did not invest. The different bank invest in their own different ecosystem. So let's assume First Bank have the have more customer than Bank B. You will find that our First Bank system will collapse because so many people will be transacting on that network at the same time. But if we have a shared or a co-location shared data infrastructure managed by NIBBS or jointly managed by CBN, NIBBS and the bankers, that infrastructure is scaled to the level whereby we will not have uninterrupted network fatigue or vortex. You will find that we will be able to distribute money to everybody on time, real time. So we do not have the technology ecosystem and the framework to do that.
All right. So the technology system eco-framework is what's required. Now,
yeah.
As you, I imagine, are very much aware, most Nigerians are aware of this. We do have a serious problem on our hands at the moment with Paris folks trying to run internet banking, pay by POS, do transfers, use their bank apps, mobile apps and all of that. And they keep getting failed transactions under different terms or expressions being used in return for the effort of making this work. And even this headline that led up to this conversation, electronic banking platforms collapse under traffic surge. Why are they collapsing? Why is one of the most difficult things to do right now as a Nigerian something that just some weeks or a couple of months ago was quite easy? Even recharging your phone line right now or renewing your data subscription is a very difficult thing to do. Why is that the case?
Daniel, if Bank A built this infrastructure to take care of just about 8 million transactions per second, and you are now being hit by 50 billion transactions per second in and out, 25 from both ways, keying in and receiving, that system will collapse. So when you are building an infrastructure to infrastructure, electronic infrastructure, you must create room. You must create massive room for such. But creating room for such, it comes with a lot of costs. You don't expect the bank to have 1 million customer, 1 million keying in, 1 million withdrawing, to create an ecosystem that is close to about 4 or 5 million. They are probably going to do between 2.5 and 3 million. But in this case, that's why I said the CBN did not take cognizance of so many factors, but the policy is in the right direction. The real thing is our bank, they don't have the right amount of data center or data transmission center to interlink these monies, to transfer this money on time, real time, looking at the amount of people that are transacting from bank A to bank B. There's a particular bank, I don't want to mention their name, their site was literally down because of the input of packets of information that was going in and out. So basically, our bank don't have the infrastructure currently to really, really run a seamless or a cashless policy full time, which means the central bank need to go back, they need to look at the policy and put a new framework in place that creates a financial ecosystem that allows the bank to scale on time, real time.
It is Hard Fact in Nigeria. Info Port Harcourt. Electronic banking platforms collapse and a traffic surge is what we're discussing. My guest is IT consultant Dole Miri. We have a commercial break to attend to now. We'll return after that. Conversation will continue. Join us once again. We're live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. We'll be back in a moment.
You are tuned in to
92.3 Nigeria Info. And now, Hard Facts. With
Dio. Welcome back to Hard Facts to Nigeria in Ford here in Port Harcourt, to number one talk station. I'm Dio. 29 minutes gone past four. Discussions are on. Electronic banking platforms collapse under traffic surge. Story from Leadership Newspaper. My guest is IT consultant Dol Miren. Dol, you're welcome once again.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
We're live via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Join the conversation there. The lines will be open shortly. Number to call then, 070-093-093. We'll get that in a moment. Still, I've got some questions with my guest in the studio. Now, Dol, you said the reason why we're experiencing the collapse and I can't recharge my line, I can't do a transfer to my cousin, you know, who's in school, I can't pay for a service or commodity right now, it's extremely frustrating to do so. The bank simply don't have the capacity to attend to the surge that's happening right now. However, there's been repeated talks over time about a cashless policy. Whether or not the Naira redesign happened now, the implementing what I may refer to as a full cashless economy was a destination that was inevitable. We're always going to get there at some point. The clarion call, the whole talk about cashless policy did not begin with the redesigning of the Naira, but it's been with us for quite some time right now. Mm-hmm. How did the banks not envisage this? How did they not prepare for this? How did they not build a framework, a platform, whatever it is? How did government not put in place policies if that was required to ensure that we were prepared for this?
You're speaking to the Nigerian factor. You're just speaking plainly to the Nigerian factor. Dayo, let me tell you something. This country, we are a bunch of talkers. Our policy developers are called talkers. They just write the policy and they say they read it out and they expect that piece of policy. Everybody understands it and even the business community understands it. Let me tell you something, Dayo. The cashless policy of the CBN can turn a fintech company to a multi-billion dollar company in less than a month. Dayo, I looked into the statistics of how much the transactions that Nigerians are doing this period. If you see that statistic is very, 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 very encouraging. What does that interpret? If you develop a policy and you do not put a framework that interpret that policy to reality, to tangible things, that one can feel the impact in the society. Let me tell you something. While the CBN gave out this policy, the CBN is also giving out PSSP licenses and PSP licenses. MoneyPay, OPay, all these small payment solution companies, they are cleaning out. Are you aware that the big banks, their POS were not working? The smaller fintech companies are cleaning out. They are cleaning up because of the way they designed their technology to run. Their technology doesn't have to go through where the way the big bank operate, but it goes through what they call MPGS, which is the MasterCard Integrated Payment Solution System, or it goes through the NIBBS. The truth is that this policy, they ought to develop this policy, put it into cognizance by encouraging Nigerians or investors to invest. For instance, if we want to make this, but let's assume when the policy was in the consumptive states, when they were consuming or they were trying to put this policy in place, and the government comes out with something like, hey, investors, we're about to go cashless to about 70% or 80% cashless in our society. We want you to come and we want companies to come together to get a PSSP license. This and this and this and this is what you need to do. We have this period to launch this policy. We would like people to come. You will find out that CBN alone, from license, for you to get a PSSP license, for the first level is about 100 million. You would deposit 100 million with the CBN.
100 million what?
100 million naira. For a PSSP is about 1 billion naira. So it's not a small business. But I can tell you, young Nigerians and foreign investors are coming to use non-Nigerians to invest in that space, and they are cashing out. So what we really need to do is that when we are developing a policy, we must look at the framework that allows the policy to trickle down to my mother or my great-grandmother or my aunt in the village that cannot understand what the policy is.
Let's talk about that for a bit. You talked about the unbanked persons mm-hmm. in the remote parts of Nigeria, and how that, you know, maybe there wasn't enough orientation, or they don't even have access in the first place. But that might be a problem, no doubt. But we're talking about also people in the cities, in Port Harcourt, in Lagos, where people are aware of these things, where people have enough information, where people have mobile devices and they know how to operate these mobile devices, and they do internet banking, or they have mobile bank apps, or they are very much aware how USSD works also. And even in those places, they have any issues. But you explained all of that a while ago, why that's the case. The banks simply don't have the capacity to meet the demand at this time, the surge. Now, is that something that can be corrected in the short term? Is there something the banks can do? Because it appears that the policy is here to stay. There was a Council of State meeting recently where the members there agreed with the CBN's policy. However, I think it can be tweaked to, you know, especially with access to physical Naira and all of that. But nobody is questioning the policy as it were. Even the governors who've gone to court right now are not questioning the policy. They just want cash to be available readily as against what we have right now. So speaking of this policy and its implementation, if the banks are not able to meet up with demand at this time, what should they be doing? What can they do? And can it be resolved in the short term?
It can be resolved in the short term. Look, as far as it's a technology, look, once it's technology, it can be resolved. But let me tell you something. There's what's called net banking. Net banking. Net banking does not have to do with a physical building where you see bankers. Dion, let me first of all shock you. Let me put this particular statement out. Banking is going extinct. Banking is going extinct. Very soon, you won't see any bank branches anymore. And that's where net banking is coming. It's a disruptive agency that is coming. It's going to disrupt the entire banking scenario. Because a lot of people, I'm talking to you because I'm an authority in this. As I speak to you, we've gotten our PSP license, and we are coming. Net banking. That's what the world is going to. When we have this kind of, I expect the big bank or the Institute of Directors of Banks to sit down and look at this policy very well and cash in the opportunities that are there, and have an arm of net banking, to which net banking doesn't have to go through the normal route of our banking, but it's the cash. Which means you create several other products that the unbanked can be in a bank. Then those of us in the city can also appreciate that form of what? Transaction. Today, net banking, you can have you can really go online, register, do all your details, do your KYC and everything online, and you sit there, a card will be sent to you. There is no physical building attached to that card. No physical. Why? For goodness sake, Nigeria, we have our NIN. We have our mobile number tied to our NIN. Our NIN is tied to our BVN. These two components are very powerful components. These two components alone talks about security, talks about status of some status of that person, if it's a Nigerian or not. With these two, particular code, you can actually detect where that money is going to, if this person is a Nigerian or not. So what I expect the bankers to do is that, look, Nigerian the government has given us this particular tool, NIN the BVN. What they are supposed to do is to merge it together to be a single number, which they call the social security number, then gradually morph into net banking. Once they morph into net banking, probably start from corporates and allow the other traditional Nigerians to be in the real sector of the banking, and give us so many other licenses, rural licenses as PSP operators. You will find out that we will be able to capture the industry and bank everybody, and transfer can be done.
So, no, are you saying that until we have this net bank situation, I can't perform an online transaction seamlessly?
No, you can.
So, what exactly is the problem?
Let it ramp up.
And just a while ago, you said that once it has to technology, it can be done in a short space of time. Now, this situation has been on for a couple of weeks now, and it's still persisting. And nobody is saying anything about when it's going to end. Why hasn't that happened yet?
Let me tell you, it doesn't happen. Like, it's not how do I put it? They need to. I'm trying to use. I want to speak some big technology word now. Let me tell you something. They need to ramp up, increase their capacity, their technological, physical technology hardwares, and let me say their. What's the best way to classify it now? Anyway, in technology, there is what we call an echo framework. An echo framework contains so many other factors. One of the factors it contains is data warehouse and the data repository. Now, in the data repository, they need to increase their acceptability, their data repository to receive data. That means if they have a repository that receives 1 million, this will increase to 10 million, and they can increase in modular basis. As I speak to you, I know some of the bank are doing that. That is just the way to go. There is no two ways about it. They are working, but probably the rate to which they are working is slow. That is why some people can do transfers and all the rest. Maybe you try 1, 4, 5 times before you go. But as they are building capacity, they will be able to, like, the network will open gradually.
How long should it take before they're able to fully build capacity?
These things are not sold in the market. They are not plug and play. You order from there, from the manufacturers. The OEM, the original equipment manufacturers, you have to order for them. And some of these banks have customized orders, and these orders have to be developed. But one truth I will tell you is that there are certain IT equipment that are plug and play. Like a data warehouse is plug and play. And if you don't want to have a physical data warehouse, you can have a cloud-based data warehouse.
But I was going to ask you about that. How about cloud data computing? If you don't want to get the hardware, you have the Amazons or this world uncle who offers such services. Why can't they just move on to that if they're not there already? If they are there already, simply increase the capacity.
I can tell you they are not there because the CBLU does not allow a financial institution in Nigeria to bank our data out of Nigeria. Our data is being hosted here in Nigeria. You're talking of breach of security. We can't be banking our data. That is why during Olusegun Obasanjo, former President Obasanjo's tenure, he came out with the Galaxy Backbone for us to bank our data. No country is wiser or better banking their people's data out of Nigeria.
So why haven't we developed our own cloud computing here then?
That is the Nigerian effect. Because our government is being run by a bunch of people who are policy makers. They are talkers. They don't engage. Let me tell you something, Dayo. Only if we develop our own cloud computing here in Nigeria, that particular industry can recruit nothing like that, 1 million cybersecurity experts at a go. There you go. Those are the jobs you want to create. But they don't see it. They are just policy developers. When we discuss with, look, there are several levels. Technology rules the world. Either way you go about it, technology rules the world. So the earlier the government know that any policy you're making, let me give you a simple example. Look at your payments, your payment solution, the payment solution the federal government used to pay the salaries of the federal government staffs. that particular solution was not developed in Nigeria. That solution was developed by a different company abroad. They are harvesting Nigerian data. They are harvesting Nigerian data. Such kind of solution is supposed to, you are supposed to meet with the banking industry, meet with PSP solution developers, let them come together and develop our own financial framework for paying Nigerian ministry staff or local government staff or state staffs. Not contract it out to a foreign company, because the easiest thing we do is, oh, let's give it to this foreign company. They are far better than us.
I believe you're referring to IPIS.
Of course, IPIS.
But the likes of ASUU came up with UTAS recently, which the government has denied to use. But we'll have a conversation some other time. The line's open right now, though. Let's get your contributions to this. Call 070-093-093 at 070-093-093. We're live on facebook.com/ Nigerian for PH. We're also live on Twitter at Nigerian for PH. You can watch live, listen live, join the conversation as well via Twitter. Okay, I'll come to that shortly. Let's take this call. Hard fact to welcome. Please go ahead.
Hello there, good afternoon.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Straight to your comment or question, thank you.
Yeah, I think your guess is holding brief for the banks. I'm not against it anyway. But this policy has been announced for months now. And these banks did not complain to CBN. Because if they have done so, I don't think CBN would have gone ahead to implement this policy. So for him to say maybe they are to wait or whatever, I think yes, he may be saying the truth, but that's not an excuse to customers, because you were supposed to be ready. I know they meet with the CBN from time to time, bankers committee or whatever they call themselves. This issue must have been discussed long ago before now. Kept them from getting ready?
You do understand that saying that a person does not have the capacity to do their job is not exactly how you hold brief for the person. It's like you ask someone to supply 10 blocks to you and the person supplied 5 blocks, and someone is saying that the person does not have the capacity to produce 10 blocks. That's not how you hold brief for the person. If he had said that, oh, the person produced the 10 blocks, but on the way they store 5, that's holding brief for the person.
But why don't the banks complain? That's why I'm asking. Why are they not complaining? They have not told us anything. Even my bank, I called them today. They did not tell me that they have waited or whatever.
Okay.
They are still saying we are working.
Hold on.
I'd like for you to respond. Why aren't the bank saying what it's saying right now? Saying we just can't do it.
I'm not holding brief for any bank. Let me tell you.
I get your note, actually, but go ahead.
Your question again?
I get that you're not holding brief. But the question is asking is, why are the banks not making this complaint? I'm yet to hear a bank say
the bank will never make that kind of a complaint, because they know scaling up their technology infrastructure costs millions of dollars. If you remember the Y2K
break, they always declare humongous profits
this goes back to policy again. If the CBN is making a policy, the policy should come out with a framework that tell you this policy we are creating, you must scale up your data infrastructure to accommodate Nigerians. But the policy did not come with you are talking to a private, if the bank is a private business, you know, it's a public business. So if you're creating a policy, you must create the policy that directs them towards scale up their technology infrastructure to accommodate Nigerians. But if your policy doesn't say, oh, we are redesigning our notes and we are going cashless and all that, without giving them the framework that XYZ should be put in place and inspection done, seen to be done, carried out by experts within CBN to verify the bank are scaling up their technology infrastructure. For goodness sake, you should know how Nigeria, they will rather contain it to a point whereby their system can accommodate, can be robust enough or robust a little bit to accommodate these nuisances. So many times you have done transfer and the money doesn't terminate in your other point. It takes about a week or two for me to get my money back. But the bank have the capacity to design and the scale of their technology to where the moment you transfer, it doesn't terminate. In less than 10 seconds, you get your money reversed. But spending money to put that technology in place to them is a lot. So they will they would rather use what they have now and go through the normal method of reversing money.
Pardon me, let's take another call. Hello, Hard Fight, so welcome.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Based on what you just said, somebody just asked me so that the bank is not saying anything. Okay, you made a comment. I went to market this afternoon. I heard rumors that so many banks are going to shut down the security.
Okay, miss, I don't know what's causing that noise in the bank room, but I think I heard a bit of what she said, that she heard a rumor that banks are going to shut down. However, I also read a story earlier today. One of the CBN and one of the banking committees, the groups, said there's nothing like that, nothing to be concerned about. Banks are not shutting down just because they can't make a transfer right now. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, sure. There won't be any time the bank will tell you we want to shut down. But truly, if they have issues, they have issues from the back end. Probably they have massive server interruption and massive vortex of information coming in that is disrupting the system. They can't come out and tell you that because these are financial institutions. But there is no how we are going to discuss this matter without us going back to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is that the CBN policy, how beautiful it is in part A, is totally a disaster in part B and C. Part B is the implementation. Part C is the financial framework. And part D is the technology implementation. They did not do a thorough work on that aspect. I've read the policy. I've gone through the process. I've dug everywhere to see the holistic framework they gave to the bankers to scale up their infrastructure. None.
By the way, to that caller and anybody else who may have heard this rumor per se, if a bank shuts down, it doesn't have anything to do with what's happening right now. A bank can shut down at any time. However, what's happening right now is simply a case of infrastructure that you cannot do a transfer right now. Does not mean that your money no longer exists.
Sure.
Your money is still there.
Sure.
Your bank is still solvent. Deposits are still safe. It's just that the technological infrastructure is experiencing some collapse at the moment, some downtime, if you will.
Yep.
That's why you can't do a transfer. Well, your money is still there. Your money is safe. Nothing wrong with it. Once again, call 070-093-093. Got a comment here from Ben. I completely agree with your guest that the policy is a masterstroke, but it is a policy meshed in politics. Instead of being a monetary policy, it is monetary politics that is playing out. The moment Emefiele zeroed in the policy towards the fight against vote buying, I knew it would run into hitches, and that's for Ben. So, I'm going to ask a very direct question right now, maybe even more direct than the ones I've asked already. Are we prepared to run a cashless policy now, a cashless-driven economy now?
Dayo, in one single stroke, yes. Yes. Dayo, if both of us... Look, that is just the way to go.
No, I'm not asking if it's the way to go. I'm asking, are we prepared to run it now?
We are prepared to run it now.
But I can't do a transfer now.
You can't do a transfer now because the system is facing a whole lot of what we call cyclic redundancy, which is network overload.
So how are we prepared if we're experiencing cyclic redundancy?
Now, the CBN should redirect the policy in such a way that it will give room for gradual scaling up of the entire technology infrastructure from the back end of the bank. That's the bank will scale up that technology gradually.
Should the CBN then suspend its policy now so they can gradually scale up?
No, they don't have to suspend their policy.
But we need to transfer
they
now.
They have to create... No, Dayo, let me tell you something. Whether you can transfer now or not, right? Whether you can transfer now or not. Look, change is one very difficult thing for us to accept. I can tell you for the last six years, I don't think you can see more than 500 naira on me. So I don't get bothered when people, I don't get bothered about those. You can't see more than 500 to see 1,000 naira on me. Because I've attuned my mind that, look, carrying cash around really doesn't cut it for me. So the policy is right. We just have to create room for the bank. The framework for the bank to scale up has to be there. Enforcement to ensure the bank scale up and so many other avenues of transfers, you know, of payment system is developed and designed to accommodate people. So that means if a new bank is coming on board to get a regional license for a bank, you must make sure that the technology framework proposal attached to their request, it's full blown to accommodate at least 15 to 30 million Nigerians transacting or at the same time, on time, real time. I'll give you another funny thing. You can find out that Bank A that have close to about a million customers, and Bank B that have about 500 customers. But the people that have the bank that have 1 million and the bank that have 500 million, the 500 will be withdrawing a lot of money from the bank that have 1 million. So there could be vortex between these two, because the information going in between these two banks is so much that if this 1 million makes a 1 million request on the 500 bank, these 500 servers and all the rest might not be able to contain. So if you are creating a policy, you must create a policy, a cashless policy, that we ensure that each bank, they have equal amount of scale-up capacity to transact on time, real time.
Very quickly, as we wrap up the conversation, how long do you think it might take for the banks to scale up and all of this becomes history?
I practically believe before the end of April.
All right, apologies for that. We have to wrap up the conversation right now, though. Many thanks for being a part of it. Catch up with the conversation on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nigerian Food PhD. Leave your comments there as well. Thanks to my guest, Dowell Mira is an IT consultant. Dowell, many thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you there for having me.